Welcome to this special edition of the New Stack Makers on the Road. We're here at the Open Source Summit in Austin, Texas. Discussions from the show floor with technologists giving you their expertise and insights to help you with your everyday work.
Hello, everyone. We're here in Austin, Texas at the Open Source Summit hosted by the Linux Foundation. And I'm Heather Joslin, features editor of the New Stack. And we're here with an edition of On the Road, the New Stack Makers podcast. And I'm here with Hillary Carter, and I'll let you tell folks what you do.
Hi, Heather. It's great to see you again. It's great to work with you again. I work at the Linux Foundation. I lead the research program that the Linux Foundation launched in 2021. We created a program that was built on a tradition of doing some significant research in open source and building on that tradition to create a free and accessible resource for the entire community that's also built by the community. So it's an exciting space. Love what I do.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I know the most recent piece of research is the open source job survey, which was released this week here at Open Source Summit. And there's some good news and there's some not so great news. One is that 41% of organizations that were surveyed said that they are planning to increase hiring for open source roles. So good for people who wanted full-time work and building stuff that benefits the whole community. However, organizations are struggling to fill those roles. What do you feel are kind of the overall takeaway that this says?
I'll tell you, I think it's a very good time to be an open source developer. I think they hold all the cards right now. The fact that demand outstrips supply is nothing short of favorable for open source developers to carry a bit of a big stick and make more demands and advocate for their improved work environments, for increased pay. It's a real struggle to find talent. So for organizations, they face a real challenge right now. You captured it perfectly, Heather, in saying there's good news. Well, it's good news for developers. It's not great news for organizations who need them and projects who need them. We're finding that organizations have to, if they can't fill an open role, then they have to go out to the consultants to try to fill that gap and keep their projects on schedule, and that can increase costs. Mm-hmm. And so here we are.
And there was, I believe it was only 16% of organizations said that they would delay a project if they couldn't staff it.
That's right. They're going to try to move forward any way they can with talent that they can scrape together from consultancies or other gig workers. But the opportunity lies with those who can provide the solutions.
It looks like, are there specific skills that are in short supply? It sounds like.
Yeah. The report identified some consistency with the results last year, and that the most sought after skills in open source are in cloud. Cloud native is still the most probably in demand, which overtook Linux last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. So Linux comes in a close second. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly is DevOps. And right behind DevOps are security skills, security related skills. Increasingly in demand.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely hearing a lot of that at Open Source Summit. And I believe also the study found that I think it was in almost 3 out of 4 open source professionals said that they're looking to build more skills in that area. Is that?
Yeah, and last year it was two-thirds. Two-thirds of developers need more training to do their jobs because the ecosystem is changing. The landscape is always changing, always accelerating. There are always new demands, new strains, new friction, new problems to solve, and security is the problem of the day that I think the whole community is acutely aware of and highly focused on, and we need the talent, we need the skills, and we need the resources to come together to solve the challenge of creating more secure software supply chains.
Mm-hmm. And the spike in demand for cloud skills, we know that a lot of organizations accelerated their move to the cloud during the pandemic. Do you think that that had something to do with the people looking for more cloud skills?
Most mm-hmm. definitely. The move to all remote work, the increased significance of tools like Zoom and video conferencing, for example, just one example of how the pandemic has reshaped the way we work, the significance of cloud computing. And that, I don't think, is going to scale back just because we are moving into a post-COVID, hopefully, a post-COVID world.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, but I don't think you can unring the cloud bell. And organizations are just not going to go back to brick and mortar. We are a digital economy, and digitization is the way of the future. And transformation for brick and mortar industries like the public sector, like educational institutions, healthcare, financial services. We are moving to software-defined industries broadly, and that, I can say, begins with cloud, and we have a long way to go before we reach maturity of that transformation.
So what can the organizations, the hiring organizations, but also institutions like the Linux Foundation and the open source community more broadly do to help build the candidate pool for these jobs?
Well, I'm going to quote my colleague Clyde Seeprasad, who has eloquently stated that we cannot hire our way out of this problem.
That's true. Yeah, very true.
We have to work with the tools that we have, which means we have to double down on our existing workforce and elevate their skill set, implement inclusion practices, implement work-life balance practices so that the teams we have are the most effective teams to achieve organizational objectives. We have to train our team members, make them feel included, raise their salaries, and work with what we've got.
And open source program offices, what within organizations, what specifically could they be doing in that area?
Well, OSPOs are phenomenal frameworks and bodies which help shed light on open source talent and how to implement open source best practices, how to get the most out of open source software so that your organization can remain competitive, can manage risk, can enjoy a faster time to market, reduce inefficiencies, benefit from many eyes, not have to go it alone. Mm-hmm. So an OSPO or learning more about OSPOs is a strategy to leverage how open source can be part of a competitive strategy, not just where talent is concerned, but where efficiencies in product development are concerned too.
And certainly from a business standpoint, I mean, a lot of amazing tools have come out of, you know, side projects and open source projects within larger organizations. I mean, so it, from a business standpoint, it probably makes sense to double down on giving your people the skills to do open source.
That's right. Give them the skills. Give them the internal structure in which they can thrive. And that's what the OSPO does. The business value conversation around what OSPOs deliver is really important. And that is one of our objectives at the Linux Foundation, is to convey that opportunity. It's a strategy in how we elevate our workforces, how we leverage the opportunities of open source technologies and standards, software standards, hardware, the whole gamut as it relates to overall organizational competitiveness. It's definitely part of the narrative.
There's been some talk about potential recession coming in the US and Europe and parts of the world. Are you worried about what impact that might have on open source programs and the investments that organizations are making in open source? Do you think that there's ever a chance that that would be scaled back if people are asked to do some tightening?
I think cost cutting is part of the equation when we find ourselves in a recession. What I do hope for and I do anticipate is that open source will be deemed one of those high priority areas for organizations to not have to scale back. In fact, because talent is such a necessary part of an organization's ability to sustain itself, and open source is such a valuable asset for staying competitive, that I'm hopeful that this industry will weather a recession perhaps better than others.
Well, it's definitely, you know, demand exceeds supply in terms of the talent. Also, I mean, I'm curious about what's on the horizon for research at the Linux Foundation.
So many good things, Heather. I'm super excited about new projects that we have launched recently. I'll give you one example. In May, we created a fourth framework for how we explore open source broadly, and that's along geographical lines. So we launched a series called World of Open Source at KubeCon in May, where we are looking at open source dynamics at the global level, at the continental level, at the regional level and other geographic boundaries, perhaps the nation state or the state level or other sort of hubs of open source activity. And that's really exciting and it's really important because we know that open source is a global phenomenon, but there are regional dynamics at play and we need to ensure that collaboration is possible by all developers worldwide and that we continue to keep those bridges of collaboration open and cooperation between and across regions. That's really, really important. And working together is our number one objective. But recognizing that regions have unique needs. You know, Africa's needs are very different from North America. How so? And how can the open source community respond appropriately to those geographical dynamics?
Well, that's going to be really sort of a map almost of the global open source community and what's happening within individual communities. And that's really exciting.
And our first region that we're exploring is in Europe. So we launched the first study, World of Open Source Europe Insights, in 2022. And we will publish those results at Open Source Summit Europe in Dublin in September. And already that has sparked conversations from members of the community to say, ooh, I'd really like to, can we look at Latin America next? Or can we look at China? Or can we look at Africa? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of excitement about thinking about regional dynamics and geographical issues that our community faces and how we overcome them.
That's terrific. That's terrific. So is anything else on the horizon?
Oh, yes. There's always something on the horizon. We have surveys. We launched our 2022 OSPO survey.
Okay.
At Open Source Summit North America. Those results we will also share in Dublin in September at Open Source Summit Europe. We are also repeating a number of research projects that we did in 2021 in financial services, also with SOTA Foundation and storage and data technologies, and pursuing new projects in sustainability, in energy, and the list is really long, and I'm super excited to be able to work on so many varied project communities in open source.
That's terrific, and we'll look forward to the results of the European survey in Dublin in September.
And will we see you there?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Hillary Carter from the Linux Foundation. I am Heather Joslin from the New Stack, and this has been On the Road, the New Stack Makers, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the New Stack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to thenewstack.io.